From the epistle, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. These are very inspiring words that we read about the prophet Moses. Moses, who at a very critical point in his life made a wonderful choice, a difficult choice. Later in the gospel, we'll read about Nathanael, who also makes a choice to follow Christ. We face choices in our lives, especially at critical points. And Lent is one of those times when we can choose afresh, I want to be a Christian, not just in name, but in practice and reality in every way. Lord, help me make that choice. We know there are consequences to that choice. Moses realized that as he was making it. Giving up something is always part of gaining something. We want it sometimes to have it all. But to choose to be a real believer in God, we also lose the popularity that the world will give us, or even sometimes the wealth that the Lord will give us. We choose to turn away from that, and what makes it amazing is that we can choose the way of God, even though it means unpopularity, scorn, associations that will involve even suffering in our lives. But these wonderful saints show us that's the right way, and not just the right way, but the blessed way, the way that God rewards and honors. Today, to choose to be a Christian, certainly in our society in America, means to be scorned. We are not looked upon as followers of Christ to do what the world would say is the right way of living. They would say we're very misguided, locked into an old worldview, an old world way of living that modern society has chosen to outgrow in their thinking. And so we are scorned. In some places of the world, Christians are persecuted. In many places of the world, Christians, part of that society, go through suffering. And we don't always know why God allows it, but he does. Like the suffering of our dear Antiochian Christian brothers and sisters in the old country, dealing with all of the consequences of the recent earthquake, that, thank God, people have been very generous in collecting, and I'll show some pictures about that in the adult class today. That's what we choose to associate with. With Moses, you might ask, by choosing what he chose, if he had not done it, what are those glorious things in his life that he would have missed? Well, immediately you think of the burning bush. What happened when he goes out to the desert, and there he meets God in that burning bush. He learns the name of God. So he's growing in a knowledge of God, experience of God that he would have never had otherwise. We also then see Moses he gets a wife, and a wife, Sephora, and he has two sons, all of that because of what happened, and he's out in the wilderness. Zipporah will also help him, even though she's not of the covenant people. She will help him become faithful to God. And so there's a wonderful story about her circumcising those two sons, even though Moses had neglected to do it, and bring God's blessing on their family. So a good wife helps in that way. And even when the father, even when the husband, isn't always following exactly the right way, a good wife can help with that. We find the experience of going to Pharaoh, the 10 plagues, the courage of Moses, and the wonder of God that he saw, the power of God, delivering a people that he had chosen to identify with, delivering them from slavery and bondage. Moses saw that. And even though he was a stutterer, God used him to be the leader. Amazing. And the wonderful experience of the Red Sea, how it opened. And they went through that Red Sea while Pharaoh and his army is drowned. The experience in the wilderness. They need food, and God miraculously supplies manna. They need water, and God miraculously gives water from a rock. They have dangers to face, like the snakes that bite them. And then Moses is given this wonderful instruction, some one of our icons up here, to put a bronze serpent on a pole and let people look to that, and they'll be free of that snake bite, prefiguring the cross of our Lord. Moses sees and experiences all of that. He asks to see God, and God allows him to see his backside as he passes by. Wow. Mount Nebo. He wasn't able to enter the promised land, but he was able to look at it from a distance, from the Jordan, and there he saw the ultimate blessing that would come from his life work. All of that would have been missed if Moses had simply decided, I'm going to stay in Egypt. I'm going to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. A short season, and his life would have been over. Do you see what a good choice for God can lead to? And what we miss if we don't make that choice. Our life may not be as dramatic as Moses, but our life is rich and full, complete, when we make that choice like Moses, and not the false choice to the short-term, seasonal pleasures of sin. I want to be a Christian, a real Christian. Again, that's what this shows us. Turning to the gospel, I said Nathanael is faced with the same thing. Our Lord sees Nathanael before he meets him, because as God, he can see everything. He sees him under a fig tree, reading. And it's Philip who goes to Nathanael. Again, we don't all have maybe the prominent calling. Maybe we're a Philip. Our job is to simply tell people, come and see, come and see. I invite you to the church. I invite you, and I pray for you. I hope you do it. That's the ministry of Philip. Philip finds Nathanael and invites him, come and see. And then we have this dialogue, and Jesus says, I saw you. I saw you. Even though he wasn't there. You see, he's given a sign. And if we are reflective about our life, we'll probably say, at various points in my life, God has given me a sign And part of that sign is an encouragement to follow him. That sign. And that was the sign that was given. I wasn't there. Jesus wasn't there, but he saw him. He sees everything. This week I had a dream about a particular something happening, and then I was so puzzled about it because I thought, well, that's really not going to happen. That's unusual. The very next day, it happened. I'm not a prophet, but I can say God gave me a sign. And God gives each of us at times those kind of little somethings, not always, but sometimes, to let us know he's there, he's in our lives, and that is so encouraging, to just keep walking the right way and keep trying to make that right choice. Nathanael responds to the sign and the call to be a disciple. And because of this, and Jesus says to him, you will see greater things than this little sign. Nathanael, your life's going to be rich and full and complete. And so it was in the life of Nathanael. And so it is for everyone who makes that same choice to be a true follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Greater things, amazingly greater things. When we think about what God has done for us, the whole Christian story, creation, the wonder of creation, you think, could there be anything better than that? There was. And what happened next? The incarnation. The Creator God becomes one of us. Can there be anything greater than that? Yes. That Creator God who becomes one of us dies on the cross for us, rises again so that we can be united to him and death can be no more. Wow. Can there be anything greater than that? Yes, the second coming of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ with us, united with him, and all throughout all generations united with him, a new heaven and a new earth. You will see greater things than these. And in between all of that, we have our stories. Individual, like Moses, like Nathanael. If you want to know what happened to Nathanael, I looked it up in church history, the tradition about Nathanael. Where did he go after the ascension of Christ? We all know all the disciples went somewhere. Where did Nathanael go? The tradition is he went to India, just like Thomas. But he didn't stay in India long. He went on to Armenia. That's the country that my name, Mustian, is associated with. There in Armenia, he finally preached, and he was finally martyred. Before that, the reason he was martyred, he was doing healings and miracles, and people were envious of him, and so they crucified him and took him down from the cross and beheaded him. They buried his body, but they couldn't stop the miracles. People would go to where he was buried. Even there, God continued to work miracles through this holy man, Nathanael. So they threw his coffin in the sea. They thought, that way we'll get rid of him. But it landed on a little island, and then later his coffin and his holy body was transferred to Rome, where in a church it says miracles continue to happen associated with Saint Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew. Well, the defender of the icons, today we'll have the icon procession. They suffered in the 8th century when political people under Islamic influence wanted to take down icons. You shouldn't have these in churches, and even though they'd been there from the very beginning. In the catacombs of Rome, you'll see beautiful imagery people had to suffer for that. And for 100 years, the church suffered, and there were martyrs. I love to tell the story of these martyrs. This week I went to a Catholic school and was talking about St. Photius the Great. His parents died as martyrs during that period of time. And then later, here's the son who becomes the great patriarch to defend the faith. How God works in all of these circumstances, and even the difficulties and the trials. But what a glorious life he gives to those who make that good choice. Ultimately, we're the fruit of it. We have beautiful icons, beautiful temple. Our little children will join us in the procession today, celebrating this wonderful restoration event that happened in the 8th century. I look at my life, and I can see little signs, critical moments. I don't always make the right choice, but God in his goodness keeps trying to redirect me back. And by the mercy and grace of God, I get back to that right place with his help and mercy. That's our good Lord. That is our good Lord. And he promises us a great destiny. And even along the way, we will see wondrous things as he works in our hearts and in our lives. Most of all, we experience his Holy Spirit with us, so that whatever we face, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. May we all be inspired by these scriptures that are read today and keep pressing on to follow the good examples. Like Moses, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather the ill treatment of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ's riches greater than the treasures of Egypt. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,